Hey there, Goblin here. I just wanted to give you a heads up that until recently, I've been uploading exclusively on YouTube. So head over there and check out my channel if you're interested in more content, as there are additional videos that don't get uploaded here as podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Now, let's get started. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Goblin Queen. Thank you for joining me. We are going to read some stories tonight, and these tales definitely fall under the category of high strangeness. Our focus tonight is going to be on a very strange encounter that was posted on Your Ghost Stories. If you're not familiar, that's a website where people submit their firsthand paranormal experiences. I like to find the weirdest ones I can find on there, and I do have a whole series of me reading stories from that website called Ghosts with Goblin. And so we're primarily going to be reading from that website, if not exclusively. I'm not sure I'm going to see how much time we have, and I have some extra stories we can read if we need to fill a little bit more time. So what's great about Your Ghost Stories is, and we'll get into this a bit later, but I really like that I've been reading it for a long, long time. And I like that they foster a community and really pride themselves on getting genuine experiences. And obviously that's not something you can know 100% for sure, but you can just kind of get a sense of it when you read a story, I think. When you read a lot of stories, you can just kind of get a sense if someone's telling the truth or if they're spinning a yarn. So this story, you can decide for yourself. Well, we're going to read a couple stories. And you can decide for yourself if you think these are genuine experiences or if they're just elaborate stories that someone has put on the internet and passed them off as a genuine experience. But I love finding patterns in stories that I read and experiences. That's why a lot of the videos I do are according to a predetermined theme, because I just read all these stories. I rifle through so many stories, and then I start to pick up on patterns and different themes and stories, and it just fascinates me. And I know the human brain has a predisposition, gets a warm, fuzzy feeling from recognizing patterns, and I certainly do. But the theme tonight, the recurring imagery, pattern, what have you, in these stories tonight is, it's a very specific and strange one. So how we're going to do this tonight is I'm going to read this story. I'm not going to bury the lead. We're going to start with this very odd, long story and kind of splinter off from there. Because another thing I love about Your Ghost Stories is the comment section. People often will leave their own experiences and just really interesting cultural insights and stuff in the comments. So there's a lot of splintering off from this story that I found to be very interesting, and hopefully you will too. Now, I'm not sure how well known this story is on other forums like Reddit. Obviously, it's posted on Your Ghost Stories, but I could see it getting passed around because it is so unique and specific. So I don't know if you have heard this before, but even if you have, it's worth a revisit. So, let's get started. This story was posted in 2013 on Your Ghost Stories by a user named Clarence. It's called Puppet People. I've been a frequent visitor of YGS for several years now. I know the drill. This is a place for real ghost stories. And I can promise you that the tale I'm about to tell is wholly nonfiction. Whether or not the events as I remember them actually happened in the manner described is, of course, debatable. But the story itself is not something that I have intentionally made up. It's probably the single scariest thing that has ever happened to me, and arguably the one experience from my childhood that has affected me more than any other. New Orleans, 1991. The first time that I experienced something supernatural, I was about 7 years old and faking being sick so that I could stay home from school because of this kid who had been picking on me during recess. So, I'm lounging on the sofa in my grandparents' living room when the sound of my grandmother coming down the stairs filters in from the foyer. I quickly close my eyes, getting into character. I hear my grandmother enter the den and shuffle around for a moment, gathering her things. The jingle of keys, the snap of a wallet. After a few more moments of shuffling, I hear the side door in the attached rec room shut, and then a car starting outside. I wait a few beats just to be safe, and then open my eyes. Then I hear a creak. The sound comes from the attached rec room I just mentioned, which is actually an add-on my grandfather had converted from a two-car garage. The room is fully equipped with a wraparound sofa, a stocked bar, a closet full of G.I. Joes, and a large state-of-the-art stereo system, circa 1991. Though, right now, my focus is on the toy closet. The only thing that divides the den and the rec room is a 4-inch carpeted drop, so I can clearly see across to the closet, which is built into the room's far wall. And, to my wide-eyed amazement, I can see that the closet door is slowly opening. I can't move. My eyes are fixed on the door as it casually swings open. This isn't a draft or overzealous hinges. Something is wrong here.
Is she gone?
The voice is a distinct whisper, clear and yet somehow not right. I can still hear that voice, as clear as day, in my memory. The first one leans out. He's shorter than the doorknob and looks, for lack of a less ridiculous reference, like a humanoid puppet from the American children's show Sesame Street. Fuzzy, light pink skin with a shiny black nose, big cartoonish eyes, and a tuft of troll doll-like hair atop his football-shaped head. The only difference is this little guy isn't being puppeted by anyone, and his legs are clearly visible. I'm so fascinated by this aspect that I'm suddenly overwhelmed by the desire to get closer, to get a better look at this puppet person. My fear takes a back seat to my childish curiosity as I begin to sit up. Then I hear a grunt. What seems to be an affirmative response to the first puppet's question, this new voice brings me to a halt. If there was something vaguely creepy about the first one's tone, then this second one's voice is downright disturbing. People don't sound like that. The first puppet exits the closet, followed by his nearly identical companion. The two of them are only visible for a moment as they hurry behind the rec room's wraparound sofa. Once again, my fear subsides, giving way to curiosity. Trying my best not to make a sound, I slip down off the den's sofa and slowly crawl across to the rec room. The first puppet is now apparently bending over something behind the rec room sofa and his little denim rear end, they're both wearing faded gray denim overalls, is now poking out from behind the wraparound couch. I make my way across the rec room, still on my hands and knees, following the long end of the sofa over to where I can see the first puppet's butt. I'm inches away when I finally stop crawling, too afraid to go any closer. I can't even bring myself to poke my head around the bend in the sofa, so instead, I simply reach out and place a hand on the puppet's back, saying in a timid whisper, "Hey." The thing instantly whirls around, its big puppet eyes now glaring at me as I retract my hand. It leans around the corner of the sofa, bringing us face to face, and I open my mouth to say something, though I'm not sure what I would have said. The puppet darts out a hand and pinches my arm, harder than I've ever been pinched before or since. Hard enough to break the skin on my forearm and inevitably cause a small scab to form. Without a thought, I'm up and across to the side door and then out onto the lawn where I wait for what feels like hours until my grandmother finally comes back. She starts to scold me as she exits the car, something about faking sick just so I could go outside and play, but then she sees my face. At first, I don't want to tell her what took place. Even at 7 years old, I'm aware that these kind of things just don't happen. But then she asks about the tiny smear of blood on my arm, and I break down. I tell her a condensed version of the story. I even admit to fake sleeping earlier when she was leaving after my grandmother tries to insist that it was all nothing more than a bad dream brought on by the fever I had been faking all day. I don't admit to faking sick, of course, so the conversation ends there, at least as far as my grandmother is concerned. For me, though, to this day, it's still a constant debate. Am I simply crazy? Or did scary-ass puppet people actually dwell in the toy closet of my grandparents' rec room. I can remember weeks afterward, sitting in class or wherever, and looking at the scab on my arm, and every time thinking, oh yeah, that happened. Now, that's a good story. Maybe you think it's too good. It is very well written, and Clarence admits that they are a published freelance writer. And while they acknowledge that this fact may lead people to believe that they are lying about this particular experience, they insist again and again that this story is genuine. The only person who knows for sure is Clarence, but according to their story, they weren't actually asleep. So we can't claim hypnagogic hallucination. They weren't actually sick, so we can't claim a fever dream. And they said they had a lasting injury from the encounter. They even include an illustration they made of the two beings. If you want to see it, I have all the stories linked in my source list in the video's description. But basically, it features two little guys with short, squat bodies and very large heads. Clarence mentioned in the story that one of them had a football-shaped head, but in their picture it's more of a teardrop shape. The other one's head is shaped kind of like a lemon wedge. They both have beady eyes, round clown-like noses in the middle of their face, and small mouths. You can take the story as you like. You can believe Clarence and that it was a real, very strange experience that happened to them. Or you can just take it as a fun and spooky little story. Either way, it got a huge response on the forum it was posted. Our beloved Your Ghost Stories, of course. And there are tons of comments, several of which I think you will find very interesting. The first comment left was by a user named H2O Lily, who says, I don't think I'll be able to sleep tonight. See my sister's clown-headed monster story I posted. You're probably pretty open-minded like she is due to this experience. Anything is possible. Well, what choice do we have but to now read Lily's story, which is titled Sister's Clown Head Monster. During the early 70s, when my family lived for a time in Fresno, California, my mom decided to divorce my dad and moved herself, me, and my little sister Ruth into government housing, which was not bad. I thought the little semi-detached two-story houses were cute with their wooden floors. Once I fell down the stairs, maybe pushed, but I was very adventurous and was probably practicing my flying. Luckily, I didn't break my neck and was only a little bruised. Another time, I rolled off my bed and fell onto my metal dollhouse. There were no lawsuits back in those days, so the manufacturers of metal dollhouses were at liberty to produce razor-sharp metal objects for children to disassemble and play with. But nothing supernatural ever happened that I knew of. Then, just a few years ago, my mother mentioned the ghost your sister used to see in our house in Fresno, and I soon got the story out of my sister. This is what she says happened to her. One moonlit night, she woke on her little trundle bed next to my big bed. She got up, wearing her itchy, footy pajamas, and toddled down the hall to use the toilet. When she returned, there on the floor was something she had never seen before. Something that looked like a clown's head was moving back and forth around the floor. It was slightly larger than a volleyball and had a painted look. White skin, wide, grimacing reddish lips, and huge yellow googly eyes that were rolling around in their sockets. She remembers nothing definite after that, which I have read indicates a possible nightmare in children. She says she may have run to our mom's room and jumped into bed with her, but she's not sure. You left me in there with that thing? I asked her. You were asleep, she answered. I asked her how she felt this experience affected her life. You become very open-minded about certain things, she said. One thing I know, Ruth was an extremely intelligent child who well knew the difference between make-believe, dreaming, and reality. I love that story. Super creepy. I think there's something about the slight vagueness to it that makes it more effectively unsettling. Having all the minute details may add to the validity of some stories, but sometimes a lack of details is just spookier and stranger. Of course, this one could easily be put to scrutiny. The author of the story relates in the comments that she thinks her sister was about 5 at the time of the experience. So, some will say that at such a young age, it is easy to conflate a dream with reality or to quickly take a mistaken object in a dark room for something sinister. But Lily iterates again and again in the comments that regardless of the possible explanations, her sister believes the experience to be a real event. Regardless, it lasted in her mind for over 40 years, so real or not, it had a profound effect on her, even causing a shift in her perception, as she stated that it made her become more open-minded about certain things. And Clarence, the author of our first story, does comment in agreement. They say, "Exactly. I'm certain if it hadn't been for my experience with the puppet people, I would be a different kind of person today. I would probably be less open-minded and more quick to judge others' experiences, and my ears definitely wouldn't perk up every time I heard someone say, 'Strangest thing just happened to me.'" I'm with you, Clarence. My ears perk up when I hear that phrase as well. I think we can all agree on that. One more short comment under Lily's story is from Basil Lisa, who says, "I saw a similar thing in my grandparents' flat when I was 3 or 4. I always thought it was just a bad dream, though." They don't go into any more details than that and never posted their experience on the website, unfortunately, but yikes. Sounds like there could be more creepy clown heads rolling around out there. Let's go back to the comments on the puppet people story. Danny says, "Now, I don't know if this is real or not, but I know that I have seen those puppets. When I was about 4, my bathtub had the sliding glass doors. While I was taking a bath with the sliding door shut, 2 little puppets with the weirdest voices popped up out of nowhere and started talking to each other right outside the glass door. I sat there scared, but I had got the courage to scream for my mom, and as soon as I did, they disappeared. After that, I couldn't take a bath alone for a very long time." You'd think that a story like Clarence's would be totally and wholly unique, but no. Here we have another person who says they have seen the puppets. How wild is that? Wild as that seems, it doesn't stop there. A comment from Tweed says, "What the hell? I saw some critters like this when I was about 3 or 4. Not exactly the same as your sketch, but definitely of that ilk. Felt like skin, tufty hair, oval head, etc. I chalked it up to childhood imagination, but something's always gnawed away at me about that conclusion." Now, for those of you who don't know, Tweed is a bit of a YGS celebrity. They have nearly 2,500 posts and have published 35 stories on the website. So if you become a regular visitor to Your Ghost Stories, you get used to seeing the username Tweed. And they did post their encounter with what they say are similar entities to the puppet people in Clarence's story. Shall we read it? It takes place in Australia, and it's called Autonomous Toy Creatures. "There's a story in my favorites list called Puppet People. This person's experience echoed with striking similarity, something I long assumed were a couple of childhood dreams. Ever since reading Puppet People and a few similar experiences in the comments, I've been fascinated with these odd toy puppet-like creatures. Recently, I did a bit of digging, and one detail has thrown the dream theory sideways. Approximately 1985, I was around 4 to 5 years old, living in the same house where I saw my first ghost, my guardian. I could write an entire volume about my love for that house and garden. It was the best place to grow up in. One of my favorite nightly activities, or bedtime procrastination techniques, was to climb onto my parents' bed while they were kicking back in the lounge room. I was pretty proud of this accomplishment because it was a waterbed. While on the bed, I could reach and switch on the bedside lamps. From here, I would pretend to be a panther prowling around the slow-moving surface until I eventually fell asleep. One such night, I conked out and curled up to have a doze. I noticed a spider on the wall and recognized it as a huntsman. The huntsman is a large Australian spider, which looks like a brownish, hairy tree tarantula. But this huntsman on the wall was different. It was, for lack of a better description, colorful. I recall red and yellow patterns, and a slightly different brown. Its legs were thin and tapered. It had only four legs, and was striking a star pose. There was something very strange about this huntsman. I stared at it in wonder. As I gazed upon this peculiar huntsman, my attention was broken to the sound of murmuring voices, clear and deep, but muffled. At first I thought it was Dad, from the lounge, but the muffled voices were coming from a much closer source. I glanced around. Nothing. I looked back at the huntsman. I was looking to the left when I saw, out of the corner of my eye, my parents' curtain wardrobe move. The curtain wardrobe was a wardrobe without a door. My dad put a curtain on the front as a makeshift door. This fabric had moved. I looked to the wardrobe curtain. The voices were still murmuring. Then came light, quick footsteps on the floor. I don't know if I could hear or understand what these voices were saying. What I can remember is one saying, "Quick," and "Hurry up." From the middle of the bed, I slowly inched to the end of it, to where the wardrobe and voices were. I peeked over the end of the bed and saw what looked like an animalistic doll-sized toy looking out of the wardrobe toward the bedroom door. I heard more murmuring. I looked to the door where this entity was looking and saw another similar-looking entity running out of the bedroom. I only saw this one from behind. I didn't see his face. He was wearing a yellow-striped t-shirt and blue shorts. I looked back to the first one. He slowly slid behind the wardrobe curtain. I could swear he was looking at me as he did this. Whereas before I was curious, but calm, to be observing these beings, that calmness was replaced with fear when the creature appeared to stare at me while slowly slipping behind the curtain. I feared I had been seen by it. Then I heard something I still get the creeps thinking about. Shh! The loudest shushing I've ever heard. Everything fell silent, except for the TV in the lounge. I made haste to the other end of the bed, as far away as possible, and hid under the covers. I wanted to yell for my parents, but I knew they'd just put me in bed. The one that went running out of the room had turned the corner in the direction of my room. I definitely wasn't going in there. I peeked out from the covers and stared at the huntsman again. For some reason, this was comforting, like having company. I continued to stare at the strange spider until my mom came in and carried me to my room. I demanded that she remove all the dolls from my bedroom. I don't know why, but I had an aversion to dolls after this. These critters didn't look like dolls, though. They looked more akin to soft toys, so I don't know why I didn't freak out about the soft toys instead. The other time I saw one of these guys was in the backyard. This time is less vivid and less eventful. I was around the same age. It wasn't too long after the first time. I was playing on the lawn and heard a deep, resonant voice again. Immediately, I remembered the night I saw the colorful huntsman. I looked to the direction of the voice, which is coming from a part in the backyard which was completely overgrown and gnarly. In the direct sunlight, I saw a light pink-skinned toy-like thing with black eyes, nose, and frizzy sort of hair wearing a sweater scampering into the overgrowth. I didn't see or hear anything more than that. The appearance of these creatures were similar, but each had their own unique look. The two whose faces I saw both had black beady eyes, black noses, and red lips. Their skin looked like it was made of smooth cloth. Their hair was frizzy, as if it had been teased. I'd guess they were around 1 foot tall, but they varied in height and build. The one peering from the curtain wardrobe had dark brownish-orangey skin and bright red lips. I think this is the one that had done the shushing. I didn't get a look at his body, just his face poking out of the curtain. I'd say he was slight of build, going by his gaunt face. His nose was pointed. The one running out of the bedroom had darker brown skin. He had a heavier build and a much larger head. I didn't get a look at his face. The one outside was much lighter skinned, very pale pink, with a droopy red mouth and flatter nose. These weren't toys of mine. Never seen them before or since. They had limb mobility, expressive faces, dexterity, and motor skills. The murmurs, I'm not sure about. It could have been a language, or just groans. My memory is vague on that. They all sounded male to me, all very deep. Not what you'd expect from a small, cute toy. While I read Puppet People, I shouted at the screen, "No way! This can't be true! Those were dreams I had. And similar self-affirming statements, because that encounter echoed mine and both seemed insane. I've thought about those toy-like creatures a lot ever since, teetering on obsession, really. I decided to look into the huntsman from the first time. There's no such thing as a colorful four-legged huntsman. I took to the internet in a quest for answers. So, Tweed goes on to explain that from a flurry of internet searches, they discovered that the spider they saw on the wall was a real spider called the St. Andrew's Cross Spider. Feel free to look up images of those spiders on your own time. Arachnophobics, be glad that this is just audio and not a video, so you don't have to look at pictures of giant Australian spiders. But Tweed said that when they saw the picture of the correct species of spider, that night came flooding back to them. Hence, like they said at the beginning of the story, that made them kind of toss out or heavily question the theory that this was just a dream. A comment under this story left by Lady Dark includes a link to a thread on the Unexplained Mysteries discussion forum from 2005. This forum includes a copy and pasted story from the website of a writer and journalist named Brian Bethel. The story, which is claimed by Bethel to be a true story, also recounts a strange and frightening childhood experience involving Muppet-like creatures. Although they aren't actually seen running about in the room with him, like in these other stories, but appear on a television screen and seem to interact sinisterly with the young witness. Now, while this seems to fit right in with our theme for the night, and appears to be yet another encounter with a bizarrely specific supernatural phenomenon, I don't think I'm going to read it for you. The reason being that, while these stories are strange and possibly hard to believe, I do find that these seem to be presented in a way that seems earnest and genuine. True, the first one is well written and penned by an author, someone who literally makes up stories, but YGS, or Your Ghost Stories, is a website that prides itself on presenting real ghost stories or paranormal experiences. Stories that seem to be made up are often called out in the comments, and you can kind of just tell when a story is exaggerated or made up, right? Now, of course, I can't say for sure that the stories by Clarence and Tweed are real, but to me, they seem to be at least presented earnestly. Both of these people are very responsive and interactive in their comments and receptive to critique, acknowledging remarks made by people that, yeah, it does seem hard to believe. You get my point. This story by Brian Bethel, which is titled Evil Muppets, I have my suspicions about it. To me, it reads much more like a creepypasta than a real experience. There's also the fact that Brian Bethel is kind of a paranormal internet niche micro-celebrity, famous for pretty much kicking off the Black Eyed Kids sighting phenomenon. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that, if you have an interest in paranormal topics and stories. But if you aren't, we'll get into it someday. But basically, Brian Bethel is known for an experience he claims to have had in 1996, where he was approached by two odd children who notably had completely black eyes and were just markedly creepy for the things they said and their demeanor and other things. And this became the first of what would come to be many of these types of sightings, even kind of following a formula that he set in place in his experience. I'm not saying necessarily that his story and other Black Eyed Kid stories are all fake, I don't know, but they do seem to follow a pattern, and his was the first of many that kind of developed a whole supernatural subspecies that are now called Black Eyed Kids, or black-eyed children. So yeah, basically I don't know about his Muppet story. That's the reason I'm not including it. If you want to read it, you can Google Evil Muppets, Brian Bethel, spelled B-E-T-H-E-L, and it should be the first thing to come up. And there is another experience someone shares in the comments of that thread, but I have my doubts about that one as well. Let me read one last comment from under the Puppet People story. Actually, I'm piecing together a few different comments, but they're all from the same user about the same experience. Oatcake says, I just came across this and had to comment. I've seen something similar and always put it down to dreams and haven't ever really mentioned it even when talking about the paranormal with friends. I just remember laying in bed and the door creaking open. They popped their heads around my bedroom door when I was about 3 or 4. There were 5 of them peeping around the door, their heads one below the other. They said boo and started talking in fast gibberish. Then they ran over to my bed to tickle me. I remember one looking like a Muppet I'd seen on a Muppet's Christmas Carol, one with orange hair and a long face, similar to that. I can't recall if it had happened before, but I remember telling my dad the next day to not let the Muppets tickle me anymore. I had always thought it was my imagination, but reading this has made me feel all funny like pins and needles. It's very odd to see others have seen the same thing. I have submitted 2 stories to the site, totally separate from this story, purely because I never even thought that the puppets I saw were real. But reading all these accounts has sent shivers down my spine, and I just don't want to think about it anymore. At the same time, I had dreams of cartoon people, looking like people I knew, but in cartoon form. I don't know if the two are linked, but again, I hate to think about it. I remember vividly the last dream I had about them. They told me they had to leave and were hugging me one by one. Then I never dreamed of them again. The two probably aren't linked, but because they are so bizarre, they are encounters I haven't really told anyone. I had the biggest chill reading this story. I just can't believe it. Very, very strange. No matter what, you can tell that these experiences left an impression on those who experienced them. And while nearly everyone had just put them down to strange dreams, or perhaps nightmares, reading another similar experience has given them validation regarding a suspicion they had that they were more than just that. So, obviously, it's easy to say that these were dreams or a child's imagination or what have you. But assuming that all these encounters actually took place, what are these creatures? Let's muse on that a bit. The most obvious answer would be that they are toys that have somehow gained sentience a la Toy Story. But no one in these stories remember owning these toys that they saw, so it's not like they just wandered out of their toy box or closet. They seem to have come from somewhere else. And while these experiences are posted on a forum called Your Ghost Stories, I think it's safe to say that these puppet people and rolling clown heads and such aren't ghosts, if we're going upon the definition of a ghost as being the ethereal form or presence of a deceased person. In the comments section of the first story we read by Clarence, user Isandu says, could this have been an alien encounter? I've read some aliens have been described as very small and stout creatures, wearing what appear to be coveralls. I could see your 7-year-old brain interpreting what you saw as puppets wearing denim. An alien encounter does seem like a more plausible, if we can use that word here, explanation than a ghost. There are qualities in the description of the puppet people, definitely in the first story, that do bear resemblance to people's reports of UFO experiences. The heads that are disproportionately large compared to the body, and, like Isandu said, the matching overalls. A few people in the comments also mentioned that they get fae vibes from these creatures, meaning that the puppet people remind them of fairies. And I could see that you could possibly liken them to goblins or some of the more mischievous or devious type of fairies, even down to the pinching that happened in Clarence's story. A comment on Tweed's story from Lady Dark says this, between Tweed, Clarence, and Brian Bethel's accounts, I find myself thinking Seely and Unseely Court. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Seely and Unseely Court are 2 categorizations of fairies that occur in Scottish folklore. Basically, it means good and bad fairies. The Seely Courts are the drooping fairies, fairies that appear in groups and are generally benevolent, often appearing around twilight. The Unseely Courts are solitary fairies and are considered dangerous and evil, usually seen at night. In the case of the stories we read, I'm definitely thinking these creatures would fall under Unseely. Lady Dark also suggests that the puppet or toy-like appearance of these entities may, quote, reflect a current cultural perception of what little people, or fairies, should look like, shifting from the goblin-y creatures of a couple centuries ago to Muppets. As to who determines how fairies would look, us or them, I don't know. Another question is whether more traditional-looking goblin-y things are still cited, implying that these two concepts exist concurrently. If they do, it begs the question as to whether that proves they are a different thing versus whether they could be the same creature with a shifting appearance. If so, would that be evidence that the lens of the viewer determines their appearance? Do only children see them as Muppets because they're the ones with the recent exposure to Sesame Street? And adults see goblins, again, because they just don't picture Muppets as real or whatnot anymore. If only it were possible to track sightings and graph results by generation and by frequency, looking for cross-correlations such as whether goblin sightings are declining as Muppet ones increase. Unfortunately, when only three instances are known, you, Clarence, and Bethel, all that can be done is a case study, and there's just not enough information to conclude much of anything. While it seems that there are a few more than just three stories, we're not quite done yet either. But Lady Dark presents some very intriguing points, and in regards to their comment about tracking and graphing fairy sightings, we're very fortunate now that Simon Young is beginning to do this with his fairy census. And speaking of the fairy census, I did take a quick peek to see if any similar encounters appear in those. And I did find one mention in the second and most recent fairy census. It took place in Idaho sometime between 2010 and 2020, when the witness was in her 40s. They reported the time as being between 9 p.m. and 12 a.m. They said, "While camping, I was alone near the campfire. My friend was in the tent. I finished my book by the fire. I felt presences. I looked up and to my right. I saw a crowd of beings, some small, furry, and dark, others Sasquatchy, all staring. I didn't believe it. I rejected it and went into the tent. We watched the full moon travel from left to right to sink behind a cliff. As it did, the light dimmed to dark. My partner hit me. I opened my eyes and it was getting lighter, brighter. The moon rose back up into the air above the cliff. I blacked out and woke up the next day. I don't know how long we were out there." Bit of an odd and vague story. They reported time loss and an Oz factor effect, where everything went profoundly silent before their experience and they felt their hair prickling. Now, the relation to our other stories comes in the description they give of these beings they saw staring at them. The witness reported they looked like, quote, like Muppets from The Muppet Show, furry, different colors, sizes Bigfoot-like to small ones. Strange. So now we have giant Muppets thrown into the mix? Oh dear. So, like Lady Dark mentioned in the last comment I read of theirs, I saw a few people suggesting that whatever these creatures are, they are taking the shape of puppets or toys, perhaps in an attempt to appear disarming to children, taking on a form that might not scare them. If you lean into that theory, it is interesting that the entities seen are puppets, because if you think about it, a puppet is, of course, something that is made to be manipulated by something else. Except that the puppet creatures in the stories didn't seem to be trying to get the attention or to communicate with the children who saw them, at least initially. So I'm not sure if they would need to take on a form that's appealing or welcoming to children if they didn't even know they were being observed. What do you think of all these stories? Are they just the result of hypnagogic hallucinations, dreams mistaken for reality, or a child's vivid imagination? Any one of these possibilities shaped by the context of imagery absorbed from children's television programs? Or, if they are supernatural in nature, what are the origins and nature of these beings? Maybe I'm thinking about it too much. They are great stories, no matter what. I really enjoyed reading them. And for me, it's just always fun and interesting to see patterns emerge in people's personal experiences, especially ones that are so specific and bizarre. And if all these stories are fake, if they are simply fabricated and presented as real, then what makes them so effectively chilling and unsettling to us as readers? Is it the idea of something intended for children, such as a toy, gaining sentience and taking on sinister qualities? There are plenty of movies, TV shows, and media that have capitalized on this fear of evil, sentient toys. Chucky, Slappy, the ventriloquist dummy from Goosebumps. I mean, he's basically a puppet. Or is it the highly odd details that boggle the mind, taking our expectations of the world outside of the bounds of what is normal and expected, and leaving us in the uncharted territory of the strange and unexplainable? I do think we have time for one more story. So I'll read this one and then we'll finish up for the night. This one is going to come from the Paranormal subreddit, and it was submitted by NoLeg6271. I first want to start out saying that I am a complete skeptic when it comes to most paranormal experiences. I don't discredit anyone who had a paranormal experience. I wasn't there. However, I do believe that most paranormal events have a rational explanation. That being said, one of my earliest memories involved the first time I climbed out of my crib. I don't remember much, but what I do remember is vivid. I was in my parents' room and had been put to bed. My grandmother had come down from out of state, and that evening, her and my parents were in the living room playing Yahtzee together. While in my crib, I distinctly remember a puppet of an old man hovering over my crib. It looked like the critics from the Muppet movies. It was giving me the most menacing and angry glare. I did what any young child would do, and immediately hid under the covers. When I peeked out from the covers, the puppet was gone. This was the first time that I had ever climbed out of my crib. I then ran down the hallway into my living room to my parents. My mom then picked me up and proceeded to carry me back to my crib. I don't recall having any other encounters that night or in the future. For most of my childhood into my teen years, I wrote that off as a bad dream until I was about 18 years old. I was riding in the car with my brother, he's older by 4 years, and told him about the experience. I told him about a dream I had of a puppet hovering over my crib. My brother asked me if it was an old man. Bear in mind, I had never spoken to him about this before. I said, "Yes, how did you know?" He told me that he was in the bed across the room and recalled a night where he saw the old man puppet hovering over my crib. He said he got so scared that he too hid under the covers, and when he peeked his head out, both myself and the puppet were gone. Not sure if anyone else has had this experience or a similar one. If anyone has a rational explanation, I'm open to it, but any input would be helpful. Unfortunately, no one commented on their story, so they never got their requested input. You let me know what you think. And if you have any odd stories of your own, especially if they involve puppets, if there's more out there, we need to know. All right, that's going to be it for tonight. Hopefully, this has been fun and interesting to you. I found the connections between all these stories to be fascinating, and I know I'm not the only one. The response to most of these threads involving these puppet stories shows that there's something about this topic that just really piques people's interest. While that's all the stories I have on the matter for now, I did see a couple people in various Reddit threads making reference to 2 videos by the YouTube channel Beyond Creepy that contain stories concerning Muppet-like entities. So, if you feel like you need even more Muppet stories, I will put the link to those in the description of this video if anyone's interested. For now, thank you very much for joining me, and I will see you soon. Good night.